In this edition of The Faith Factor, I'd like to begin a series with you wherein we are considering the most important figure in the Scripture, and in fact the most important person in all of history, Jesus of Nazareth. And as we consider the Lord Jesus in these coming weeks, I want to think with you specifically about the incarnation, the enfleshment of God, the second person of the Trinity becoming man. We'll focus our thinking along the lines of two primary questions. Who is Jesus? And why does it matter? There are many things in life that I don't understand. And I know that you share that same human condition. The other day, a friend of mine was showing me his beautiful 1968 restored Camaro. And he went to the front and he lifted the hood. And I had to admit, I had no understanding of what was going on under the hood of that beautiful car. When I'm watching a football game, the intricacies of shifting from a zone to a man-to-man defense on the fly is something I really don't understand. And I've got this patch in the middle of my front lawn. My lawn has a southern exposure to the sun. And every summer, this middle part of my grass turns brown, and I cannot keep it green. But with each of those things I've just mentioned, there are people who understand. There are people who understand things that I don't understand. People who can relate to things that you don't understand. But in life, there are imponderables that nobody understands. There are primarily three things that relate to God, and no one has ever done more than simply scratch the surface. No one has ever become a subject expert. Because in these three areas, as we begin to think about them, we have the sense of being overwhelmed by a veritable tidal wave of ignorance. We are out of our depth in terms of intellectual perception, or anything remotely parallel in our own experience that we can compare for some form of cognitive understanding. When it comes to God, nobody understands eternity. Nobody understands the Trinity. And nobody understands the incarnation. Eternity, the concept that God is without beginning and without end, is beyond our capacity to understand. The Trinity, one being expressed in three persons, is beyond our capability to grasp. And the incarnation, the second person of the Trinity, truly God, taking on humanity, becoming enfleshed, at a point in time being born as a baby and becoming Jesus of Nazareth, and how those two natures coexist in the person of Jesus is impossible for us to fully understand. As I talk about this, I feel a little bit like C.S. Lewis, who said one time that I write for the unlearned about things in which I am unlearned myself. However, the Scriptures do teach, and to the extent that we can read the Scriptures and compare the Scriptures to each other, we can begin to understand the person and the work of the Lord Jesus. We can understand who He is and why it is that His identity matters. Several years ago, there was a group of homeschooling parents, Christian homeschooling parents. All of these parents came together with the combined and shared desire to school their children at home and to do so in a biblical environment with a Christian worldview at stake. Through a succession of events, the person who became the president of this homeschooling group in that town was somebody who professed to be a Mormon. One of the other parents challenged her and said, "Can you really subscribe to our statement of faith? Because our statement of faith says that Jesus is God, and that Jesus as God is without beginning and without end. He is eternally preexistent." When the Mormon mom looked at the statement of faith, she conceded that as a Mormon, she could not affirm the statement of faith, because Mormons believe that God the Father is eternally preexistent, and that He created God the Son, so that the second person of the Trinity is not fully God, does not share the same essence as God the Father. In her resignation letter, this Mormon mum shot back at this issue of theology. And here's what she said. There is only one Jesus. We all worship the same one. When I heard the story, I recognized that what she said in her first assertion was true. There is only one Jesus, the biblical Jesus, the Jesus of the gospel, the Lord Jesus who is at the center of the Christian faith. But not everybody worships the same one. In fact, people who say that they are followers of Christ often have a distorted or a non-biblical projection of their own imagination as to who Jesus is. Who exactly is Jesus of Nazareth? Popular pundits in the secular media sometimes say that he never really existed. If you were to attend a comparative religions class at your local university, you would probably be told that it's quite possible that Jesus is simply a mythological figure, or a composite, a fictitious figure combining the characteristics, the attributes, and the experiences of many different people at that time. Historians of antiquity will generally not go that far. They know that there's solid historical evidence for the existence of Jesus. But they identify him or characterize him as being a Jewish activist prophet or a militant leader, maybe someone who's a great moral teacher and a healer. But it's clear that the apostolic writers in the New Testament want us to know the historical Jesus, the authentic Christ, at least to the capacity that our minds can comprehend, recognizing that he is imponderable and to some extent incomprehensible, we need to examine the scriptures carefully so we can really know who Jesus is and why it matters. Because we can't love Christ with our heart unless we also understand him with our head. That's why it's important for us to go back to this question biblically. Who is Jesus? And the second question like it, why does it matter? I don't mean to suggest that we should do a cold, analytical, theological understanding. We want to resist the urge to reduce the Lord Jesus to a set of facts and propositions, but in every relationship, we need to understand the identity of the person to whom we're relating. Every relationship includes an understanding of what a person is, and to understand who the Lord Jesus is, we need to turn to the Scripture, because he is unique. He is unlike us in many ways. That is the mystery of the Incarnation. When writing to the church at Colossae, Paul wrote this in Colossians chapter 2. My purpose is that they, the people at the church, may be encouraged in heart and united in love, so that they may have the full riches of complete understanding, in order that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ. If you want to be a Christ follower who is encouraged in your heart, if you want to be a follower of the Lord Jesus who is united with other believers in love, if you want to, as a Christian, grow in the full riches of complete understanding as the Holy Spirit continues to make you more like the Lord Jesus, then you need to understand the mystery of God, the Lord Jesus. That great imponderable, how did God become man? There is much that we cannot understand, but biblically we are taught the basics. And in the coming weeks, as we answer our two basic questions, we will learn what the Bible teaches about the Lord Jesus, the God-man. Truly God, truly man. That great imponderable, how did God become man? Because we can't love Christ with our heart unless we also understand him with our head. Who is Jesus and why does it matter? We'll explore that in the coming weeks.